much like Sutton's horse, I love to get a hey. My tummy. Okay. Was that so good?
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
Oh, do you want mine?
Yeah. Are you new?
The best way to lip sync is to not even try.
Oh, I love it.
That was for Adriana.
You know what's so interesting?
I don't know if she was actually trying to lip sync or not.
So we were going to do a Taking It Personally, but I just in real time was like, we're not doing that because we haven't even talked about Miami. I feel like we, I've and Mary
Miami,
fits
unfortunately,
in with this.
Has like gotten the short end of the stick.
I know, it's not my
just
fault.
You, for like
the
for,
universe. Okay. I know, it's not fair. They're having such a good season. So I truly was like, in my head, I was like, oh, this is going to be a two-parter. And the irony here is we started part one by talking about like the funny math, and this will be 509 part two. I don't think it should be 510. I think it should be 509.5.
That's between you and
God
and your podcast God. Yeah,
also known as me, I suppose. Anyway, it's Andy's Girls. Welcome back, Housewives writer and culture commentator Louis Peitzman. Louis, how are we?
I'm still doing pretty well. Now I'm drinking a Spindrift, so I'm even better.
I got you lime. I didn't give you the option to choose. Who signed me up for Nikki Haley's?
I got one today too.
How did she?
I don't know if it's.
No one should have my information.
I got one too.
God forbid I donated $1 to some Democrat.
Yeah.
35 years ago, which is impossible because I'm 24. And I used to during every major election, I get 1,000.
No, I got a Nikki Haley one today too, and I wasn't sure if it was spam or not. I said stop, but I don't know.
Just say stop. Just stop. It's Nikki Haley. Before you exit this, Sarah, please take 30 seconds to read this important message. I think it's someone stealing my identity. That could be Nikki Haley. That could be other people.
You know what, though? I think it is. I think it is
spam
because I said stop and there wasn't a response. And when you
is yours 339-210-5491? I'm not taking that out of the podcast.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful.
I think it's a scam.
Maybe someone stole someone's contact. I don't know how technology works, but like people can like, is that phishing where they like take your contacts and then try to spam them?
I just blocked the caller.
I'm gonna do that too.
When you get a political text message and you write back stop, there will be an automated response
that's
that
like,
says,
I'm so sorry.
You've been unsubscribed.
Yeah. Report junk. I'm doing that. Delete report.
And the fact that I'm not on any Republican mailing list made me think that it was like shady because I probably shouldn't have responded at all. But
interesting.
Now we tested it. I said stop and they did not respond.
I mean, there's some stuff
I used to do text banking.
Oh, yeah.
And people will often say very creative things, but not stop. They'll often say like really vulgar or horrifying things in response, but they don't actually say like stop texting me.
You know, it was like...
But I already removed them anyway because they were being like vile.
You know, it was really upsetting to me in watching Housewives and the Hustler.
Oh my God.
Was finding out that Tom Girardi was a huge bundler to John Edwards, who was the love of my life for years. No, I am at my core, like that kind of like, I guess, moderate-y kind of Democrat.
Left
but
of,
I really...
Left of center. Not too
yes,
left of...
Little, right. Yeah. But I'm not a registered Democrat. I truly am an independent. But like that's kind of, I'm like kind of like progressive-y, but like a John Edwards kind. Mm-hmm. And I loved him. And I did phone banking for him during primaries. I don't even know if I was doing text. Were text invented at that point? I was doing a lot of stuff for him.
I think text banking is relatively new.
Yeah. And then
relatively.
Back when Page Six was still like Page Six, where, you know, obviously print was huge, but it came out in like all the stories of the day. It wasn't when this like blog universe of stuff coming up throughout the day. It was like at the start of the day, you had your stories for the day. Yeah. And those would go up extremely late at night. So I would be in Rhode Island refreshing my screen, waiting for the Page Six drop because I am psychotic and was like always that girl where I was like, tell me the tea from like New York City society culture.
And that's
and
how
like,
you found out about.
And there was a blind item that said this elected is telling his mistress he will like marry her, be with her when his wife is. I still remember this. I remember this to the moment. I remember how I felt. It said, we'll be with his mistress when his wife is, quote unquote, out of the picture. And my little ears went up because I said, I said to myself, you know, this was somewhere in the mid 2020s, right? When I was, that's how math works. Whatever.
2010s?
You're to the mid 20s plus. Whatever it was. Sure. But I said to myself, self, something in the buttermilk ain't clean. Is that how that phrase works?
Sure.
I just thought to myself, I feel, you know, because I was John Edwards coded, I was like, it's like the Twilight where the little bear is like attracted to the, where it's like you find your partner and you protect them.
The werewolf?
Whatever.
You didn't, wait, what you're saying is that you'd imprinted on John Edwards.
Yes, I had imprinted on John Edwards.
Good Lord.
It was like a bear that does security. You know what I'm saying? So I was the bear in like security for John Edwards. And I was like, oh my God. And there was no reason. There was no reason. Well, I mean, they very clearly, I think that they were telling us what was happening. But it was just, I was like, oh my God. And I knew it was John well before we found out that he was cheating on his wife, Elizabeth, with the woman who would then birth his child, yeah. whose paternity he denied for a very long time in very, very awkward ways. P.S. shout out. This is Housewives Psychology Podcast. But if you haven't read Game Change, gets yeah, into a lot of the nitty gritty.
I think I Googled him not long ago because he's like a lawyer now.
Well, he was always a lawyer. He's no, always but I mean, a like, he's
like, you can like Google him as like, you can, he has like a website for his law firm.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I Google his oldest daughter when, sometimes. Like, someone, she's fabulous.
When someone who was like once, stuff, I think. You know, a bigger name is now like.
And now he's like a sort of a joke. He's a punchline. You can't people, understand. Yeah,
I think he's more forgotten than anything
I
else.
I went through a mourning process. I had invested years of my, I think I bought a shirt. Which is extremely not me. Like, I don't, because political games, whatever, but I bought a, when I think that, I bought a t-shirt. What,
so was that 08? Are you thinking about, like.
Was I born then?
No, because, like.
Yeah, it was 2008.
Was when he was the running mate.
Well, no, that was 2004. And then 2008, he was running mate.
Okay.
Did
he run again?
I started volunteering for political campaigns when I was. Well, I was politically active since I was 8. I was an 8-year-old Republican, and then I sort of became a moderate Dem and was volunteering for political campaigns well before I was old enough to vote.
When I was a kid, we lived on Clinton Street, and we put a Clinton Gore sticker on it when I was like, my parents helped me up and put a sticker on it. So
cute.
That was my political upbringing. And also, I learned how to say Michael Dukakis when I was... I'm obviously much older than you, so it's you wouldn't really do this.
You are much older than me.
Anyway.
Much older. It's a real generational divide, one could think, and say.
But
the best thing is that Dylan Hafer is the age that I definitely am. Uh-huh. So then sometimes I ask him how old we were.
That's always good.
Can you believe he's in his... I mean, I can't believe it because we're the same age.
Mid-20s plus.
He's like literally in the mid-20s plus. I've had a conversation with a friend multiple times who... We actually got into this the other day over the phone. You know who you are. She's 100% not listening. But we were talking about... I have a birthday coming up. I have a birthday coming up next month. And we were... This is truly... We're going to get into a part three. I can feel it. But she was like, yeah, because you told me you were 25. And I said, friend, I never said that. I would never... What I say as a joke, which has become a thing, is that I'm spiritually mid-20s plus. Now, as I say that as a joke, I'm winking. Because as we know, I am absolutely in my mid-20s.
Right.
But... It's spiritual. And yeah. She was like, no, I believed you. I was like, you never did. You never thought that. I know I can be extremely emotionally immature, and that's Ageless by Ramona, but you never really thought I was 20. Not now. Maybe a month ago.
It's very Sutton Foster and younger.
Yeah, I tried with that. I got through a couple seasons, and then I was like, I just can't take it anymore. Mm. I just can't do it. But I got through a couple seasons. Great. And what's his face is extremely hot.
I don't
Mariska's husband, Peter something.
Mm, yeah,
I fucked that up. He's extremely attractive. So he had me hooked.
Well, good for her.
Good for her.
Mariska.
Yeah, she spoke at my college, and I remember it was like one of the parts of my bio on Facebook when Facebook was like in its early days in 2020. And it was like it was a sort of a master class with actors and this and her acting coach, Larry Moss, and a bunch of like famous actresses who've coached with him. And she said something along the lines of like, and there are certain forms of acting that she doesn't give a shit. And she said, you know, act like a pencil. Fuck you. And it just brought at a theater.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it brought the house down. And he was in the audience glowing. because they were fucking. I mean, they're a beautiful couple.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Housewives.
Housewives. So as a part two of this 8-part Andy Scroll spectacular, we just talked about Beverly Hills. Once again, Miami getting the short end of the stick because I just had to regale you with stories of my youth. I've rewatched Beverly Hills, which we won't touch on unless we do. And you know, if we do,
I can't promise that I won't slip it in. And also Vanderpump Rules might just like pop up.
I love to slip things in. Like I
let's work on our phrasing.
No, let's continue it. So I watched the most recent Beverly Hills in Miami just for the purposes of like recording and other things. I think I've watched each episode 3 times. Mm. VPR is only going to get me once a season. You're only going to get one watch out of me.
Yeah, I can't do more than that. Watch.
I do want to watch the Nick Viall of it all, but I just feel so overwhelmingly that Tom Sandoval is like one of the most manipulative people that we've seen.
He's
on
not
Bravo.
Good at it though.
I know. I wish that was more entertaining, but it just makes me feel dirty.
But I'm saying, like, I don't feel like he's winning over anyone.
You don't need to be successful at it.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. But Miami. Not to get.
But Miami.
I'm gonna pull myself back from Vanderpump Rules into Miami.
Kiki. Is she gonna get her flowers?
I hope so. I think it's really interesting because the idea that like Kiki deserves mojito, which I absolutely agree with.
Oh, I forget they hold a mojito.
But I'm also like, Adriana is a star. Like they're all. You don't think Adriana?
I'm nodding my head. No, I think Adriana is doing her best work and will continue to as a friend of. And we don't apologies to like her contract details, but I don't need her full time. She's giving me more than enough, and she wants to stay on it so much that it would go bad quick.
No. I think my point wasn't give her a mojito. My point was that on Miami the mojito holder versus not divide is like so fuzzy.
Agree.
Like, it doesn't entirely matter. I guess with Kiki, the biggest argument that I would make is like, yes, she had a valid point of like saying to Lisa, like, you don't know my kids' names, which as we know from Gina and Shannon is like one of the best things you could say as a housewife.
Worse things that you could do.
What I mean. One of the most like effective digs.
Yes.
But I think with
Kiki, it's so real.
It's so real. But with Kiki, what's hard is like, I don't know her kids' names. And part of that is because she hasn't had any, we don't have solo scenes with her because she is a friend of. So I think there's a case there of like, show us more of her life. Because we should see more of that. And also, Leisha should be forced to learn her kids' names.
100%.
So I think that's the biggest argument. But at the same time, like, I think from a production standpoint, they might feel like our friends of are essentially friends of in name only. And they basically function as full-time. You know, Kiki is someone who was not in that role season four, where she was, like, truly friend of, where she would kind of pop in for comic relief. This season is functioning much more as a Mary Sol or Adriana, where she's like, she's there the whole time. She is driving plot. She is given an interiority that we did not necessarily get from her before, or she wasn't allowed to give. But I don't know if they're going to actually upgrade her because maybe they don't feel like they have to. I think the fact that they put her on Watch What Happens Live next to Kyle was a good sign that they understand that she's a star and that they understand how much, like, this trip has been, is this trip over? I'm trying to think.
I think the name of the trip is Adios.
The last
was
episode.
Was it not? The most recent.
Yeah. That trip was incredible, like top tier Housewives trip. And that while everyone did A+ work, like, Kiki was a huge part of that. And I think that they realized that because to put her on Watch What Happens Live next to one of the biggest housewives of all time, I think is a really good, like, to me, that shows our level of respect. She'll get second chair, but it's still a sign of respect.
Yeah, no, the booking is the respect.
Yeah.
I think we're ready for it. I think it makes sense. I do want to see her life. Like, she's talked about her struggles as a single parent. I want to see that. I want to see more of the modeling, honestly. I want to see her kitchen. Like, I want to see I want to see her inviting people over and her being in command.
I think that I would like to see that also. I think that Miami is interesting because I don't know what I have not been able to figure out is like how much ratings actually matter. And what they don't tell us, like, they'll tell us ratings, including like DVR and all of that, when they want to make a point about how great something is.
Right. But otherwise, you're lost at sea.
In the release where they were talking about like how well everything's doing, it was like all these shows breaking records. And I think the Miami's was like better than last season. Like, I think it's was it even on Bravo last season, or was Peacock last season?
And then re-aired,
and no one watched it. So like, of course, like, it's better than last season, because last season was like 10,000 people watched it on Bravo. But
those 10 were mighty and smart.
Like, whether or not live ratings matter, the ratings of Miami are a third of like VPR, mm-hmm. you know, or less than half of Beverly Hills. Like, I do kind of wonder if, and Miami looks expensive. I don't know. That's just because of like how well they all dress and how colorful they all are. But it looks to me, it's like what Dubai tried, but I found it to be really obnoxious on Dubai, of like trying to make it look too polished. Miami is like so vibrant that like it's different, but it does look expensive. I don't know how much they're spending on production. I just feel like, is there going to be a time when they want to reduce the cast because of money? Like, are we in danger of like any changes because of the cost of it? Just because it's not one of their successful shows. I don't know. I mean, I really like,
it is a success. It's a critical success.
But yeah, but like, does that like what they're, but critical in what way? Because Bravo's not winning awards for Miami.
But like, we love it.
No, I know. I love.
Isn't that enough?
I love Miami.
I watch never, it more than 10 people would.
I never wanted to go anywhere. I'm just like, I don't know what they're talking about at like Bravo HQ.
Yeah, but
about,
they have to know that's their fault.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, the
show isn't good. The cast isn't perfect.
I think
that's on them.
I agree. I fully think that they get that it's a good show.
Be best.
Because they wouldn't,
the great speaker
they would
said.
Not have kept the cast the same every season if they didn't think that it was a success. But I think, I just wonder what they're doing, because they've had a lot of flops recently. And I don't know, like Winterhouse, which is a bit of a disaster, like a show that I like actively dislike.
But that's on pause.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's something they clearly wanted to make a thing. There was an interview that came out with some execs there where they said, like, I forget which one it was, where she was like, Winter House is our most fun show right now. And they were clearly trying to make Winter House a thing. They had all of them at, you know, all of them at BravoCon, all those random like deckies. And like, they wanted Winter House to be a thing. And it kind of like flopped. Ratings were worse than Miami in many, I think at least some weeks. And now it's on pause. I'm not worried about them putting Miami on pause. I just wonder, like, would they get a reduced episode order? Would they not upgrade Kiki because it costs more money to have a full-time housewife? Like, that's the thing that I'm wondering, given that it's not a rating success.
They cannot fuck this up, right? They have to.
I would hope not. I don't know. They make a lot of choices at Bravo that I think are bad. So
these are usually casting and editorial. This is more like executive, strategic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, but casting stuff factors into budget. And like, yeah, I don't know. I think that there are a lot of things going on there that obviously we're not privy to. But like, the fact that, for example, regardless of what happens with the next season of Girls Trip, whether that ever airs, like the fact that they're not even filming another one, apparently, we haven't heard anything about another season of that. I just feel like there are a lot of like unanswered questions about the future of a lot of franchises. And so I look at any of the ones that are not performing in terms of ratings, and I wonder what they're going to do there. Potomac's also, it was never at the heights of Beverly Hills ratings wise or Atlanta or Jersey, but it still has fallen throughout the season and obviously is kind of critically derided right now. So it's like,
but that's an important franchise. This is why I don't pay attention to ratings, aside from the fact that I just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Is like, I don't care about ratings in general for a show like Potomac, which I know is great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like, oh my God, and this episode got 700,000 and this got like 640 and this got like 2.3. That's not interesting.
But we
to
know
me.
I understand why it's not interesting, but I'm saying, like, we know that they factor these things, like, they factor in Q score of, like...
Right, I think my Q score is different, because, you know, spoiler alert, I don't run a network, so it's like, that stuff to me is not... I don't look at success that way.
I'm just thinking of it...
I don't pay attention to it.
Right. I just think that this is all part of the equation. And if a show, for example, sure. like Potomac is getting lower every week of the season, and also people on Twitter are talking about how much they hate it,
yeah.
they're going to make changes.
Sure. Of course. Of course. But I'm also saying, like, the idea, like when you said, you know, it was never, it potentially wasn't as, the audience wasn't as big as for Beverly Hills, for right, example, right. I wouldn't say that that diminishes it in any way, no. because first off, I don't, you know, alternate facts, number one. Number yeah. two, I don't, that doesn't...
Right. I think that they factor in...
I don't use it as
I think they factor in many different things. And I think with Miami, clearly they thought they're pushing this show in terms of moving it to Bravo from Peacock. Clearly they like this cast, they've kept the same.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously understand the value of it, whether or not it's getting like superstar ratings. But are they going to put more money into it? I don't know. I feel like it has to all, they have to factor all of it in. Like obviously ratings make some sort of difference to them. I don't know ultimately like what that is. Like what, I think that they care about the brand a lot as mm-hmm. well. And they care about the audience's perception and enjoyment of what they're airing. Like mm-hmm. seems to be, you know, most important, but there are, yeah, I think overall they have to be considering things from a financial standpoint as well.
Sure.
And anyway, if they ever got rid of Miami, I would like absolutely riot, and they're not going to. So I'm not going to. I'm not saying that, but I do. I guess I also wish when people watched it. But as you said, it's quality, not quantity. That's what I took away from what you were saying.
Yeah, so that's what I meant.
We are the viewers of Miami are DLDR. Obviously the highest quality of viewers.
Who do you think is like sort of who are you most connected to on Miami, and who do you think is most important to the cast?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I don't know about most connected because I feel like it shifts.
Mm.
Like, I feel like this season, Gertie is obviously so important emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe last season that was more Dr. Nicole oriented. I think it really just depends on the season. But I love them all in their mm-hmm. own way, even the ones who are like, even like Larsa. Even though she's like terrible, I just like can't get enough of her.
Mm-hmm.
Most important is like so tough because I feel like they're all important.
Mm.
There were rumors about Gertie getting fired like after season two, I believe,
okay.
Which I never thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I remember people were talking about this.
Rude.
Super rude. But it works really well. It's a really, really good cast. And like this season, like, Kiki has shown how integral she is. Like, it's like everyone is playing a role and is really important. I think if anything, like Alexia and Marisol have become less central, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're not important. You look like
I love it so much. I just need people to now. You have me concerned. I'm like,
I'm not worried.
Now
well, I'm not
ratings.
Worried about. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not worried
Don't
about
dare.
It. I'm not worried about it going away.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's like such a huge success for them. See, numbers don't
yes,
matter anymore.
Numbers don't matter. Yay.
That's how I normally feel.
Yeah, I would guess, going back to like the Kiki question, I would guess that at the very least, they will keep the cast exactly the same next season. I can see them upgrading her or not. I just feel like Miami in particular has gotten away with, unfortunately, paying some of the women less to show up in every episode, which is like how it works with the contract where you're paid by episode.
Yeah, it's
like I mean
it's nuts.
It is nuts. I think that upgrading someone from a friend up to a full-time role is always a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something that feels like it's happened more often than it has.
Mm-hmm.
When Angie got upgraded, it was like someone on Twitter like put all of them together. It's only like six of them maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And like Angie turned out to be a success story, but like was not at the start. And now like, now she is she is the star of Salt Lake City.
Mother.
Marlo is an example of like how it can go super wrong, where like Marlo was the ultimate friend of and then became full-time and was like,
they should have done it earlier. They should have done it when she had like a strong relationship with Nene or a complicated one with Nene.
Yeah,
like,
no, I mean,
it was so late. And then it was honestly loaded because she had deserved it for so long. And like the video of her finding out that she has a peach and everything. And then it's just,
it was too late.
It was too late. And that makes me feel sad because I don't know that I don't know that she can and should honestly go back to being a friend.
I think Kiki has shown us that she could absolutely hold her own in solo scenes and all of that.
In solo scenes, 100%.
But I
her confessionals are the best.
I wonder, Miami is so weird too. Remember when Peter got a solo scene? When Alexia's son was with his dad? Do you remember that? There was a scene that was just Peter and his dad. And I was like, why would I ever want to watch this?
Not great.
But also, like, why weren't they filming a solo scene? It was the weirdest thing. You know,
but that reboot era or first gen?
Reboot era. That was last season.
Oh, I don't remember.
And then obviously, like, Marisol and Adriana get, like Marisol gets home scenes and she's I'm just saying, like, they're very, very fuzzy with what it means to be a friend.
And thank God for that fuzzy math, honestly, because
the only thing I feel bad for is, like, Adriana's bank account.
I know, but you know what? I don't know what we can do with that.
No, I mean, that part's not my responsibility, technically.
Yeah. Technically.
It's such a good season. I think that there were parts of the season that were, where, like, Miami is the show that is so always on and always at a level of competency, which sounds like a mark against it almost, like I'm damning it with faint praise, but that is kind of what happens. Like, Beverly Hills was giving me so much and Salt Lake City was giving me so much, and I would watch Miami and it was always good, but it wasn't a comeback story like Beverly Hills or Salt Lake City for me. So I was like, I wasn't talking about it. I wasn't thinking about it at the same level. It was only really when the trip happened that I was like, wait, this show is amazing and I need to, like, give it more of my attention. It also helps that, like, Salt Lake City ended and Beverly Hills fell for me. So I was like, let me focus on Miami where I should have been all along.
Speaking of more attention, can we spend a couple minutes on Married to Madison?
Sure.
So,
as you know, I am one behind, but
you are one behind. I am fully caught up. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And so here's my question to you. How do you feel that Quad and Quad's absence for the latter part of the season has affected the storytelling and maybe success of episodes? Do you feel like she should be there? Do you miss her? Completely separate from your experience of watching?
Here's the problem. And I say this while noting that Married to Men has never had a bad season.
Never.
This is the worst season they've had, but it's not a bad season. It's the worst season they've had. It's the least cohesive, I would argue. And I think that the problem is it was sort of lose-lose with Quad, because keep her around and you have, like, the real dynamics there. But you lose the fact, like, they also didn't want to hang out with her. So, and they weren't friends with her. So it's like you keep her to make the group as a whole, but then you're kind of faking this relationship, or you get rid of her and you don't have the organic conflict that drives that show. So I think it's been tough without her, because I don't think the new additions are really mixing in the right way. I think Sweet Tea is, like, on a different show. And so when she and Jackie were fighting, it was just very, like, or when she was trying to fight with Jackie, it was like,
trying to fight.
We know that, like, that's not how you approach, like, that's not going to work with Jackie. You can't just, like, say fuck you to Jackie. Like, it's not.
That doesn't mean she's on a different show. That just means she's just a different person.
Right. But I mean, like,
I think she might behave in that way regardless of what show she's on.
Right. But I think that, like, it's just not something that works on Married to Med, or with, I guess it doesn't work with Jackie. You can't. So, and then there's that. And then I think Phaedra, in her Phaedra way, is always going to give us what Phaedra wants to give us. And so she's had, like, some amazing moments because she's incredible television always. And, like, I'm so grateful to have Phaedra back in my life. But I don't think she makes a ton of sense on the cast, especially because she was brought in as Quad's friend. It's like, what is she really doing there beyond that, like, we all wanted Phaedra back and they couldn't put her on Atlanta while Candy was there? I think that there's, to me, no question that she ends up back on Atlanta.
Yeah, that does feel like sort of destiny at this point.
But if I were Married to Med producer, I would be looking at how to reintegrate Quad into the show. I would be looking at potentially Mariah. Like, if I were gonna like think about casting, I would be looking at, like, or I would bring back Contessa, Like there, I want it to be, I think that show works best with like the group that they have. The reason that show is so strong is because they found actual friends who have been together for 10 years now, who like fight and make up. I think it's really hard to add new people to that show.
But Quad is not friends with anyone anymore, and she doesn't have an interest in friendship with the cast without a camera there. That's not a critique of her.
No,
that's
no,
just
no.
The reality.
I hear you. It's easier said when I'm saying like reintegrate her. It's like easier said than done because it's like how do you can't make them have a relationship.
And it's a worse dynamic, I think, with Mariah and the rest of the cast. So
yeah,
you have
probably
two people who were integral and incredibly important to the success of Married to Medicine, neither of whom I think organically fit.
That's
so wouldn't that compound the issue?
No, you're probably right. I mean, like, I guess that I would say Contessa to me, I didn't want her to be fired.
Yeah, I was surprised
and
she was
Scott's
a lot.
Totally. But when she showed up at the wedding, I was like delighted to see her. And I think she does have a real connection to them. So like I would at least like to see her back.
Yeah.
Sweet Tea doesn't really make any sense because I don't think those men were hanging out with Dr. Gregory before she showed up. Right? Like they weren't hanging out with him a ton.
Yeah.
So why is Sweet Tea on the show?
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndyScrolls. Sign up today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndyScrolls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Waze anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Waze other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
There's a question. How do you feel about Dr. Alicia?
I don't know yet. She didn't really do anything for a long time. Mary Timette is always weird with Friends Of, where like they tend to like not really stand out because the show has so many dominant personalities with real relationships that like whenever they add one in, it always feels a little bit like, what are we doing here? Either they're like the center of a major conflict, like Buffy, or like they're just kind of there. Last season, what was her name last season? She fought with Toya. Got pregnant. She was pregnant on one of the cast trip.
I'm sorry, I've lost my head.
Oh, that's what I mean. She wasn't memorable, okay. I guess, is the point. I'm sure people remember who she is. I'm
apologies.
Forgetting.
Apologies.
And I really don't like the storyline of Dr. Alicia's husband being like,
he is,
I'm having a really hard time with that. And I appreciate the way that the other men, some of them, have pushed
Eugene
back against, right?
Eugene's spoiler alert, women are people,
right?
And
because
Alicia's husband's like, how dare?
Because
what a
Eugene
joke.
Eugene is like the best man on that show.
I mean, many of them are great men,
but
yeah, Dr.
The
Eugene
best man
is like incredible.
Dr.
Eugene winning the cooking contest.
Oh my God.
He was like,
I
loved it.
I love Toya and Eugene. Mm-hmm. Like, they are like the first couple of Bravo to me.
Wow.
I just love them.
Okay.
I love them.
I do love them, but Simone has my heart by a mile.
Simone
and Cecil, and like what we've been through and experienced with them, and the fact that they have really come back together and flourished. I mean, there's this whole dynamic. Heavenly is doing and I really genuinely enjoy Heavenly, even though I disagree with her about almost everything she does in the show. Like, genuinely. I do love her confessionals where she like slips in talking about sex and daddy's like, just like sign. He's like essentially whispering, like, we don't talk about that here. And she just does it every single time. But her whole thing of, you know, you wouldn't have picked Hilton Head if you really, you know, liked your good friend because of the whole marital discord and the affair and everything
Curtis
else.
Had an affair there.
Right. And she just pushed it so hard in a way that was just so frustrating to watch, because it's like, okay, she forgot or didn't, you know, piece the two together. I genuinely believe she obviously didn't intend in any way to upset Jackie. She said it, she apologized. Heavenly just continues to push it and push it and push it. So frustrating. But one of the things that Simone said to Jackie and the group was like, you're the reason I'm still married to my husband.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think I would ever come for your marriage in that way? What evidence do you have to even suggest that or believe Heavenly? And like, I appreciate you. You are the reason I'm still married. And she's 100% right.
I think that like,
she's right in what, the way that Jackie and the rest of the cast, you know, fought for their marriage.
I mean, Heavenly is being Heavenly. And also, like, I think that maybe there is a distance between Simone and Jackie that will never be fully repaired. Because,
and maybe that's not the worst thing.
I agree. But I think that, like, there is something there. I don't think that Simone did it intentionally to hurt Jackie, but I think that, like, it was easy to turn it into a thing because some level of trust was lost that will never come back. Even though what Jackie was upset about was ridiculous, which was that Simone wasn't standing up for her when she was heinous to Buffy. When she, you know, that was the whole start of it. I didn't like how that all played out. That was when I was like, really, like, the season's really testing me, because I think that initially Jackie not showing up was real, but also like, this is a TV show. Everyone's marriage has been put under a microscope on this show. And this is your 10-year anniversary trip that they've basically broken the fourth wall to say, it's our 10-year anniversary trip. And you're going to not show up because you're afraid of getting a question about the affair that was a major storyline on the show. Like, you probably will. And that's probably what should happen. I don't think that they should have. I understand why they didn't want to, like, have it be a whole storyline. But, like, it's not really playing by the rules to be like, we're going to opt out of this.
Yeah, I got nervous for a second when it appeared that we were not getting Jackie and Curtis on the trip. And then when Heavenly, but then when Heavenly was like, I'm not coming. And I was like, oh, okay, so they are all coming. It's like, Heavenly's not going to skip out on the cast trip as a genuine show of friendship to
Jackie. Feel like if you want to be a full-time cast member, you have to play by the rules of everyone else. And that means, like, occasionally getting uncomfortable questions and having some of the negatives of your relationship. They've all shown sides of their relationship that I'm sure they wish they had not shown. Yeah, I'm not like Married to Med is in trouble. Like we need to fix it. Like, I just think that they have to. I do think that I want them to rethink things for next season. And I do think that getting Phaedra onto Atlanta will help.
Yeah,
I do think probably getting rid of Sweet Tea will help. I would bring Contessa back. I won't push Mariah or Quad, because I think you made good points about why they don't really fit on that show anymore. Married to Med is a really tough one. It's the most of all the shows where we're meant to believe these are real friends, which is, like, basically every show on Bravo. It's one of the ones that feels the realest. And the more you fuck with that reality, the harder it is to, like, make the show work.
Yeah, and they also have the best kids of any show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a family show. It's like a show.
It's a really genuine family show.
I think that I'm having a hard time with Vanderpump Rules. We can go back to Married to Med.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think that, like, Vanderpump Rules this season is, like, has broken the fourth wall a bunch because they have to at this point. But at the end of the day, I'm still supposed to, like, believe that, like, James would come to Tom Sandoval's birthday party, or that Tom and Sheena would happen to run into each other. Like, it's so fake. Or that Ariana would go to Tom. Like, it's not. It's, they're both acknowledging reality and then they're still playing these roles. And I think that, like, I'm not as interested in following that because it seems so phony to me. I already know that Ariana's not going to forgive Tom Sandoval, nor should she. So, like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough. Where do you fall in the Schwartz of it all?
In what sense?
I have empathy for him. He's the devil. I don't care.
I guess I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I think that he sucks. I think that is a situation where the timeline should come out, because I do think it's clear that he knew more than he let on earlier than he said he did. But again, it's just kind of like, I don't know what we're working toward on Vanderpump Rules. These shows are all about conflict and resolution, and I don't believe there's resolution on Vanderpump Rules. So we're in this weird, like, holding pattern where we're like, you know, I think for a lot of viewers, it's like, I'm tired of Scandival. I don't want to keep, like, going over this, but it's like, this was filmed shortly thereafter. And also, like, what do you expect them to do? Like, just move on and then they're all friends again? Like, it's not, I don't know. Like, I don't really know what the path forward is for that show. And I don't think it's the Valley.
No.
I'm so...
It does not look good.
That promo looked...
real tough.
So bad. Both Brittany's inability to deliver, like, one convincing line, and then the whole thing about adulting when Jax is spiritually mid-40s plus, mid-50s plus?
Mid-40s plus. Mid-40s, genuinely.
He's mid-40s.
Literally,
yeah, yeah.
There's no spirituality there.
Yeah, no, he's really mid-40s. If you're adulting at that age, like, I don't really need to watch that. I think you should probably figure your life out.
I don't know if I believe that, but I really don't have any curiosity about the show.
No, I don't. I don't either.
Like, I'm not interested in it, but it's great that it's there because I love background music. So that might be something that I have
but
in the background.
I think that show exists in part because Vanderpump Rules, as we know it, doesn't make sense anymore, and they will have to figure out how to keep some of these people on their network.
Sure.
The season of Vanderpump Rules, I don't see another season of the same cast, but I think they want to keep them all on Bravo.
You know what's interesting to me, maybe the most interesting to me about Vanderpump Rules, is whatever is going on with Ariana and Sheena. That is interesting to me.
You mean how they, like, aren't best friends?
Well, it seems like in, I don't know if it was the after show for VPR or something, where Sheena's like, yeah, I just don't like hear, or maybe she said it on Vanderpump Rules Classic, but like, you know, I don't really hear from Ariana anymore and she's so busy. And I'm like, ooh, let's focus on that for an hour.
It's tough because by circumstance, Ariana has been forced to like be besties with Katie and Lala.
By circumstance, she went into business with Katie.
Yeah.
Are you giving me a face like you don't think that's real?
It's real.
If it wasn't real, that restaurant would be open by now. Because it would be a set.
That's true. I don't think that they had a great relationship before that happened. And I don't think that, like, I think that they haven't convinced me that they really, like, love each other and love spending time together. I think Lala and Ariana seem to not like each other. And they keep performing friendship. I just feel like we're so far past the point of like organic relationships on that show, aside from the broken relationships that are kind of like littering the stage now.
Wow, wow, wow.
I don't know. I don't like, I really like, I don't even in some of those cases, like, I don't think that, like, do you really think that Tom Sandoval and James are, like, so hurt by each other, like, at this point? Like,
I think James genuinely was. I think him going to Sandoval's party for 3 seconds was very odd. I think Sandoval genuinely feels like James is upset, is hypocritical, because Sandoval's an idiot.
Yeah.
Do I think that James was genuinely hurt? I do. Do I think that James is interested in having a relationship with Tom? If he is, oy vey.
But you know what's weird about that is that he made it seem like his upset was caused by the fact that, like, first it was the ultimate betrayal. It was like, you was my ex and like all of that. But he was sort of framing it like, I had this theory that you and Rachel were together and no one believed me and I was ostracized because of that, which I don't think we ever saw play out.
That Tom and Rachel had started earlier than what?
No. That, like, James was kind of portraying it like I was like, I had problems with the group because I believe this, and like,
oh,
I was gaslit into thinking that it wasn't actually happening. But like, I don't remember that ever happening on the show.
Well, maybe that ties into his whole argument. Is like, I was aware of things that,
yeah, it was weird.
Shown in
it was weird because like, I feel like it would have been enough for him to be like, you know, you lied to me repeatedly and you were sleeping with my ex and like, whatever. But like, it was a weird narrative that I felt like didn't match what we saw last season.
Can we circle back to the best show on Bravo first?
Married to Men?
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess this is going to be maybe potentially a controversial take, bookending with my fascination with Beverly Hills this season, is the fact that, you know, as I sort of said moments prior, I don't miss Quad. And I found maybe it was because I was in that immersive experience yesterday for 6 episodes without stopping. But I just thought to myself, hot dog. I said hot dog. I really enjoy this season. I don't feel like anything is missing. I don't feel like it's chaotic. I feel like the tension that we're seeing between the couples on the trip is like genuine and interesting and dynamic. I'm missing nothing. The only thing I want to miss is Dr. Alicia's husband not being on this show, because continuously talking about women needing to be trained, and it's like a guttural thing.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to assert his dominance, but I think it's also guttural insecurity. That is frustrating to me because these women are professionals. They're all highly successful in their very challenging fields and careers. And he's talking to them like they're a joke. He's talking at them like they're a joke. And you can tell his wife is not with this. So it's that is that takes me out of it a little bit, because I just think he's just, and he keeps talking about, and like the oral pleasure of it all, and like there's a lot of stuff that's complicated to unpack, but he just continues to try to push himself as the most simplistic version of himself and their relationship and marriage together in a way that is, it's challenging, it's infuriating, and I feel bad for the other members of the cast who have to be in the same room with this man, because he proselytizes over and over and over again about trying to diminish women. These aren't real women.
Yeah.
Women have one place, and it's like barefoot in the kitchen.
It's also tough because Married to Med has had regressive gender politics a lot of the time over the past many years. I think it's gotten better about that. But if you, like, as someone who marathoned all of it, like, was it like a year ago now?
Okay.
A year plus? Like, there's some not great stuff in there about a woman's role. And even from the husbands of, like, very successful not that you shouldn't respect your wife regardless of what she's doing or not doing, but you know what I mean. Like, it's, I'm saying, like, Heavenly and Damon, the way they would talk about their relationship was at times a little bit regressive, I think. I think the show has evolved and their understanding of those dynamics have evolved, and this feels like a step backward to be, like, kind of bringing back this idea of, like, you know, training your wife, and like, it was never that bad before, but I just mean, like, I think it's a step backward in terms of the gender politics of the show.
But I think some of the stuff with Heavenly and Daddy is like a little bit of a dance between
I think it's a little bit of a dance.
Like, I think the Dr. Alicia husband dynamic is intense and very real.
Yeah.
And I think the Heavenly, Dr. Damon, like, he says one thing at one point in one of their confessionals of, like, you know, if you're a, was it maybe like, if you're a king, you don't need to announce your title kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I just think if it's a dynamic that works for both of you and your relationship, who am I to decide whether or not it's regressive or traditional? Like, if it works for both of them and there's some humor here.
Yeah.
And he's not forcing his thoughts and feels on the other members of the cast versus Dr. Alicia and her husband. Like, Dr. Alicia does not seem comfortable in this dynamic, and she doesn't seem to be in agreement about it. That, to me, is not like a traditional relationship, quote unquote. That is a relationship that is not one that both players are interested in participating in or feel supported in. That's problematic.
I guess my point is less about judging individual relationships and more that the show as a whole had moments in earlier seasons where it was more comfortable leaning into a more traditional gender dynamic and highlighting roles in a way that to me felt a little bit regressive, and that we've moved far past that. And this is a major step backward. In fact, what he's saying is worse than what was on the show, has been on the show beforehand. And I agree with you that it's, like, bad in its own way.
Yeah.
I think that you were saying, like, that you feel like the season is great and it's not missing anything. I always feel like, not always, but for, like, many seasons that are a little bit disappointing for me, like, watching them, like, marathoning them is just going to be a better experience because you're not taking in individual, like, disappointing episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes a really big difference there. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm one behind, so I think the trip maybe could be a game changer for me, given that also, like, the trips are so important to Married to Med in a way that, like, Housewives trips are important, but, like, Married to Med seasons kind of build to this conclusion at the couple's trip. It's a little bit different. Also, on the quad question, like, I have never been, I mean, I was a huge quad fan at the beginning. I definitely was, like, sort of tired of her shtick over the past couple years.
Sister Storkel was a tough generation of the quad journey.
So I don't know that, like, what I'm feeling now is that, like, sad that she's not there. But I think some element of, like, natural conflict was removed. And now it's a little bit, like, it feels a little bit aimless this season in terms of, like, what are the, like, storylines here?
Why not put Quad on Atlanta?
That's a good question. I think the hard thing about Quad is that she is so
commanding.
I was going to say performative. That, like, she, like, Quad brings an energy that is very soapy and very big. And I think that it can often feel not real. And so, like, I think that, I don't know if that's what Atlanta needs is more of that energy.
Sink or swim, babe.
So you think put her on Atlanta, see what
happens? She's either going to work on this network or she's not. So if it's not working on Married to Medicine, we know she's a star and she's extremely talented.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens on Atlanta. There's already friction with Phaedra didn't support me at a time in which I need her.
Yeah.
I would love to see Quad interact with Kenya. I would be very interested in that dynamic. And Portia, are you kidding me?
So
put Quad in Atlanta. How's that conversation not happening?
Maybe it is.
It might be. It should be.
So you're saying you want Quad with Phaedra. You want to have both of them on Atlanta.
100%.
Okay, so like,
you have working tension.
Yeah.
Because I think we are all kind of curious what's going to happen with Portia and Phaedra. So it's like, let's put in another dynamic here.
Yeah. So we're looking at this Atlanta season. We have
Portia,
Phaedra.
We don't have Phaedra
I'm
yet.
I'm saying this imagined season.
Oh, sure. We have that 100%.
Kenya, Sheree.
I would love Sheree. I am fine with her being friend of, okay. But I would love her full time because I just think she's been fired so many times and we know she's going to be back. You know it's going to happen a fourth time.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all accepted it. It's one of the best parts of Shibai being on Traitors is that like she's lost at sea. It's iconic.
Uh-huh.
So like if we need to fire her a fourth time, I would hate that. But like we know we're bringing her back. So it is a little bit of an
okay,
LOL.
So we
have Shibai in some capacity.
Yeah.
In this absolutely confirmed, guys, breaking news. We are the people.com.
Yeah.
We are truly confirming it in our minds. And that's how imagery works, mm-hmm. right? So we have Portia definitely, because again, this has been announced
right.
On Andy's Girls. It's an exclusive. Portia, Kenya, Phaedra, Shibai.
Yeah.
Three more slots.
So Quad. And then two newbies?
Ugh, two is not good.
You think?
I think we need maybe two full-timers and one friend of.
Okay.
I think two, but like three's a crowd. But like, if three's a crowd, two full-timers and one friend of. But that's going to be extremely tough for anyone new if you are really stacking the deck successful, driven, established reality TV stars.
As long as we keep Kim off, I'll be fine.
I cannot have a Kim Zolciak return. That's never going to happen. The only way it would happen is if she has some sort of like, apologies to Denise Richards. I don't mean this as an insult, but like some sort of like Denise Richards-esque cameo. But like that would be so dark because it's like,
it's funny
hey, how's
because,
everything
like,
going with those wigs you're selling
someone,
for $10,000?
Somehow Denise got invited to the reunion. That's
huh?
Denise's cameo blew up so much that she is now at the reunion.
Why is she there?
To like relitigate the fight, I guess.
Who's producing?
It's a really,
really old reunion.
Really good question.
Wow. If you're not getting what you need on the core, the reunion is supposed to be an extension of the show, not an entirely new show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so I think
she's not even a friend of. She's cameo. And I love Denise. Bring back Denise, but don't pretend we've brought Denise back unless we've brought her back. Otherwise, you're making me feel
I'm
like
hoping,
I shouldn't feel confident about your skills producing this.
The only hope I have for the reunion and Denise's role on it is that she can.
See how we always go back to Beverly Hills? People shit talk it. It doesn't mean anything. I don't like the season, whatever. But you're still talking about it. You're still driving the conversation that way.
What I need Denise to say to the
902-1, uh-oh, you still like it.
Kyle lives in Encino.
That's a great title.
Kyle lives in literal Encino. I need Denise to say what she's actually upset about. And maybe it's not, but this is what I want to hear
the
is Brandy? The way that they threw her under the bus and let Rinna steamroll her with the Brandy stuff.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? I'm so glad you said that because now I know what I want to do tonight is the watch You're So Angry scene again. And the issue is like, I've really wanted to watch that scene again, like in full and like tap it into something else. But then something else caught my attention. I don't even know what it was. I don't know what it was.
Well, I'm glad that we brought it back then. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear Denise show up at the reunion and be like, you talked about sex in front of my kids. Like, we really can't do this again. Like it would like
Erica- I don't think she's going to talk about that. I think she's going to talk about the fact that like she felt weird about Dorit and like she definitely didn't drink before going to the dinner.
Lord.
Which
okay, but like,
is a mess, by the way.
But aside from all of that.
Or consume anything.
If she and Erica are going to have words again, mm-hmm. I would like to talk about the actual like what actually happened to Denise. Her last season was hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of Erica speaking in vulgar terms around her kids. I'm sure that was upsetting in its own way, but it's not the major issue in why Denise left the show.
But the problem with Denise wanting to talk about the Brandy stuff is you can't do that without Rinna.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's
maybe
that's
Brenna will show up. Shut up. I'm just kidding.
That's the issue with Denise trying to have this conversation with Erica is like, sure, you could have a part of the conversation with Erica, but it's, you're laughing.
I was laughing thinking about Denise saying, watch the show.
Oh.
Because if you watch the show, what I would assume she was mad about was the way that they all like,
but she can't remember. I can't remember. Like, I don't remember Erica's specific role in that because I just think Rinna. I think Rinna, I think Kyle, I think Teddy.
I think it was honestly that they didn't, no one stood up for her really, as far as I remember.
Garcelle, no?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. But I just mean like no one was like, we have to stop this. We're going to ruin this woman's marriage.
No, they were like, producers are telling us to continue talking about
Absolutely.
It. Brandy's in full glam. We're going to continue talking about it.
Yeah, no.
And now Brandy's at a lunch. Like,
mess. And the Capri room.
Never forget. Since you live in Beverly Hills, can someone please get me a plastic lemon? You know they go
those
through
are in, those are in Encino.
So? How far is that from?
Okay, my parents live in the Valley now, so we live close to all the Vanderpump Rules people.
Okay.
When I'm in LA, that's where I am. That is much closer to Encino's in the Valley.
Someone so, get me so a, I will make go. A PO box go. For someone to send me a lemon.
Well, I was going to say, I will go to the Capri room next okay. time in LA
Thank you.
And get you a lemon.
I just want one lemon. I have a rack of art here in the Clawfis, and we have, I mean, a beautiful painter painted Archie Bador for me and a guinea pig. I have a comic strip about the iconic arrest bath on Salt Lake. Someone sent me an In Memoriam Dorinda mug when she was put on pause, but actually fired. That was the rest of the cast because the show does not exist anymore. What are you on pause? Pause from. We need to change that language.
She's on pause.
I love her so much. I miss her already.
She turned it around on Girls Trip, where like she got less mean after the first couple episodes. I was proud of her.
Yeah, because I think she realized that Kristen isn't the enemy.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I just tough stuff. Tough stuff to watch
Rough,
her.
Tough stuff.
We're well,
just staring at each other.
No, I'm just thinking like real quick, like what haven't we covered?
A lot.
I'm very nervous about the lack of content coming up.
Everyone says that. We said that at the beginning of COVID.
No, but there really is.
At the beginning of the second COVID.
But what's coming up?
The third. Everything. Dubai, I'm not watching. Are you watching?
I'll watch, but I will watch and I'll put it on the background. The first season was terrible. It was terrible.
Is it only the second season?
Yes, because like they held it for 2 years.
That's a sign that it's great.
Exactly. It's going to be terrible. Okay, I'm excited for Jersey, but that's not going to be till a couple months.
Sidebar.
What?
And we'll continue this conversation.
Yeah.
You see what everyone dressed up as for the People's Choice? It was like Joan Rivers, like
oh, I didn't...
a dream for her. It was a fantasia of... Terrible style. Beverly Hills, there's
I like the picture of Erica that like kind of looks like sad on the corner.
I mean, the cast of Beverly Hills together looks like just an absolute fever dream. And then you look at, it was three people from New Jersey. It was Melissa, Marge, and somebody else from New Jersey. I'm so sorry, I forget who it was. And they look so
Fuda?
Fucking...
I just wanted to be Fuda.
They look so good. They look so good. And I don't know if they'd like... plan this, but it was like complimentary, like whites, beige, a little sparkle, black. Like they looked fabulous. They did. And I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it was like Beverly Hills looked laughable. And then it was New Jersey killing it.
Anna Marie's dress.
Oh, that was tough. That was not tough material. Like quite literally okay, the material okay, looked but cheap, my, which is tough.
My point is that
New Jersey we have coming up, that's gonna take my full attention.
Okay.
100%. Okay. Jackie and Marge. I
am excited to see how that plays out, even though it's gonna make me feel insane.
I tried talking to her about it when yeah, she was in the office.
It was a great interview.
Thank you. But then that was pre Melissa.
Yeah.
That was when it was just Marge.
Yeah.
I've been talking about that for years. I'm sorry in advance. I couldn't be more fascinated.
Okay. It's going to be a while until we get Orange County. It's going to be a while till we get New York hasn't even started filming yet. Or maybe they did start filming. I don't think they did.
No, I think they're still figuring out.
Yeah, New York.
Jenna's available.
I don't know what's happening.
Atlanta's not even starting until later this year. Later.
New York.
Atlanta.
So it's like we're not.
So we've got some major franchises.
We're not.
And that's a little bit of a wink to say that New York is major.
I think airing three to four at the same time is too much.
Oh, great.
And I wish that they had spaced it out because I feel like we're going to have a summer without much to watch.
That's never going to happen, babe. Okay. It's never going to happen. We're always going to have stuff to watch. What are all the franchises that we haven't mentioned? Dallas, how's that doing? DC?
Yeah, exactly.
Marisol's ex-husband using saran wrap around a fish.
We're not trout. We're not going to have... I wish we were getting Orange County. I mean, I just need Orange County back in my life.
But that's in extremely early days.
I know. And
pray for my queen. Pray for my angel. My broken bird.
Salt Lake City just started filming.
That I feel good about.
I do too. I think it's gonna prove everyone wrong. Not everyone. The people who were.
Didn't we have this conversation last season? It's gonna prove everybody wrong. You're not gonna need to. I know. So do we need to do it again? Why do we have to prove to anybody?
Well, you have to prove to me, but I feel like the Monica stans have very strong opinions.
Okay.
I feel good about Salt Lake City. I feel good about Orange County, but it's gonna be a long time. I feel good about Orange County, but I really worry about Shannon, like, in ways that I never thought I could worry about her.
Well, I worry about her every day.
I know.
In ways I know I can imagine, because I've felt them
before. I cannot believe that I have to see John Jansen again.
He's a reptile, number one, and apologies to snakes, because we need a new term in which to identify the animal that he is. But it really makes you feel a certain way about Alexis, that she's this desperate. Like, it's gross. And like, I get, you know, it's very
it does
frantic.
Sort of taint what I was I still am excited for her. The way I'm playing
Production
in my head,
Shannon, she's always gonna be sacrificed.
The way that it's playing out in my head is that Alexis is just really stupid and doesn't know that
because I think Shannon's gonna be like a mess. I think she's gonna be berserk about this, and that makes me feel nervous, because I think Alexis might look better than she
is. What if Shannon were just like, let me have one chill season? I'm gonna
when
not
she's doing
react.
Community service
I'm gonna
stuff,
just like yeah, I'm gonna this just, is like, the season. Have a chill season.
Well, she's not gonna be drinking, right? But she is going to be warring with Tamra. And that's concerning. That's very concerning, because Tamra has a way of... This is the issue with Tamra, is that she always goes too far and she has no true allegiance.
Yeah.
But goddamn, she made good TV. But she runs real quick and real hot. It kind of
in a Schadenfreude way, though, made me happy that she flopped on Traitors.
Oh my God, I was so happy. I literally
because I was just doing I, was, a live... I was like, you know what? Like, Tamra doesn't get to win all the time. Tamra needs to like
sometimes
be
Tamra's
humbled.
Tamra was such a flop, and I was doing a live reaction on stories while I was watching that episode, and I just put ha ha ha.
when she was like crying when she got murdered, I was like, no one cries when they get murdered on Traitors.
I loved it.
She knew that she fucked up though, because she was like not gonna get a good like she like that's a show where like Sheree hasn't done a single thing.
She's queen.
But she's like getting a lot of like attention because she's just in the show.
She's out to lunch. I love it.
But Tamra made no impression. Sad for her.
Oh God, Traitors is so good.
So good. I think they need to fast track another Traitor season.
Listen, this brief combo about Traitors has inspired me. We're going to hop over to the Andy Scrolls Patreon to record a little Patreon deep dive of the Traitors, El Traitors, one could say. Mm-hmm. Louis Peitzman, in the meantime, tell the EGs where they can follow you on social.
At Louis Peitzman on everything. I don't think I need to list them all. I use Twitter.
We did
the most.
On part one.
Yeah, I know. I use Twitter the
so
most.
So list them.
Instagram. And no, I'm going to list them again.
Love
Instagram
it.
And Letterboxd, the ones that I use the most.
This has been such a delight, such a journey. I like that we've been taking some twists and turns just for me as a podcaster. I'm like, I feel like doing a part two. And look at me now. We're recording a Patreon about Traitors.
Part three.
It is a spiritual part three. So if you want to listen to that episode, which is up now, go to patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram and Threads.
You're going to make Threads happen.
Threads is already happening. I need Threads to make me happen. So head on over there. Same handle. I'll do some. I'll talk on Threads. It's going to be great. In the meantime, Louis Peitzman, until we speak again in 3 seconds on the Patreon. Thanks so much for coming back. And guys, thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.